Good morning.
Good morning.
If you're visiting with us this morning, we're glad to have you. If you look in the pew in front of you, there's a welcome card. Please feel free to fill that out and let us know how we can pray for you. A few announcements. I've had some stuff going on the screen this morning, but a few things to mention. If you've got budget requests, or if you're a chairman of a committee, those budget requests are due to Miss Bonnie by noon on Friday. October 4th is a big day. We've got deadline to sign up for the CPR training is on October 4th. And we're also having pizza and popsicles with the pastor. So come join us Wednesday night for that. Let us go ahead and pray and get ready for worship. Father, we just thank you today for who you are, God. Thank you for this beautiful day you've given us and for all your many promises that come with it. God, we for those who couldn't be with us this morning, we just pray that you meet them right where they are this morning, God. Lord, as we prepare to worship this morning, would you please just help direct our attention to you and open our hearts to receive your word? When we leave this place, God, this morning, Lord, I pray that we walk in obedience with you. We love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. I'm so glad you're here. And I really want that TV to be on up there. And I know the choir wants that TV to be on up there. So we're going to get that TV on up there while I'm doing all this talking. There we go. Again, I am glad you're here. Stand with me as we sing Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. Folks around you and welcome them in the name of the Lord this morning. Thank you.
with me. Sing with me. How great the chasm.
How great the chasm that lay between us. How high a mountain I could not climb. In desperation I turned from heaven and spoke your name to the mountain.
has promised. Forever mine. Father God, thank you that you are more than enough for us, Lord. Throughout the ups and downs in life and everything that we go through, you've got us, Lord. Thank you for today. Thank you for the beautiful weather and for everyone that's here. Just as we come to this time of the service, please take these gifts and bless them as well as the givers for the ongoing of that service. In your name we pray. Amen.
All right, go ahead and open up your Bibles to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, just so I'm clear, that is not Isaiah today. Colossians chapter 1, it's in the New Testament. Easy way to remember is after 1st and 2nd Corinthians, you have God's electric power company. It's just the way I was always taught, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. And that's where you'll find yourself today. Before we get started into our message, I want to share a brief story with you. And if you have read our newsletter, you kind of got a glimpse of this already. It's a time when I was a child where my mom took me to Target. Now, here's what would happen in Target when I was growing up. That was a different time, it was a different age. We weren't as worried about kids just being abducted. Maybe we should have been, but we just weren't. And while I was there, my mom would always tell me, Brandon, you go straight to the video game section, and I'll go where I'm going, and I'll meet you over there. You just stay over there. I'd say, okay, so I went to the video game section, but here's what happened. I got bored. Got incredibly bored, and so I moved on. I went to different sections of the store, parts of the store I didn't even want to be in. I was just wandering around. And then I stumbled upon the greatest thing in that Target, a ball pit. But it wasn't like a ball pit, you know, with a bunch of little balls that you jump in. It was like this towering section that had rope, and inside of it were the jumbo bouncy balls. And I considered that a ball pit, and I thought, that looks fun. And so I slide into the ball pit in the midst of all of the big jumbo balls, and I say, this is where I'm going to stay. This is a fun time. Don't ask for my reasoning. Don't ask for my rationale. I couldn't tell you. But this was a fun time. And so I sat there and sat there and sat there. And then something happened. My mom wanders by, and I see her, and I'm giggling to myself, and I say nothing. And so she wanders by and goes to the electronics section, and in my head I'm thinking, yep, Brandon's not there. You're going to look for him, and you're not going to find him. I'm the greatest at hide-and-seek there's ever been and there ever will be. And then the next time I see my mom, she's no longer walking to the electronics section. She's kind of pacing, right? I mean, very fast. And I still think it's hilarious. And she's wandering around the store, Brandon, Brandon, Brandon. I'm not saying anything because I'm really good at hide-and-seek, remember? And so all of a sudden, over the intercom, all Target employees were looking for a young boy, brown hair, blue eyes, white, approximately, I don't want to tell you how much I weigh, it is a lot, approximately this size. If you find him, please return him to the front immediately. His name is Brandon. And then it hits me. This is a little more serious. This is a little more intense than a normal game of hide-and-seek. I should come clean. But here's my problem. The angst and anxiety has built up so much within me, I don't even remember where the front of the store is. And so I just go wander over to the electronics section because that's what I'm familiar with. And so I'm just standing there looking at the, let's think, at that time, probably PlayStation 2 games, maybe GameCube games. I'm just looking at them. And then a Target employee walks by. I don't know his name. And he goes, Brandon? And I said, yes. And he said, do you mind coming with me? And I said, sure. And so he's walking me up to the front of the store, and he's not talking, but he did like say something quietly on his radio that I couldn't quite make out. And I just said, okay, well, he's guiding me to the front of the store. He's going to take me to my mom. And so we get to the front of the store, and as we are walking down the hallway or aisle, whatever you want to call it, my mom sees me off in the distance, and bear in mind, I think I'm about to have my rear end beat. And it would be fair. But my mom instead runs to meet us, gives me a big hug, and goes, Brandon, I was so worried about you. Where were you? And I said, I was with the balls. That's it. I was just with the jumbo balls. And she goes, whatever. And then she turns her focus to the Target employee, and she starts giving a bunch of thanks to him for finding me. And she says, I can't believe you found my son. I was so worried. Thank you for bringing my son back to me. Today, we're going to dig into a passage in Colossians. By the way, I didn't get in trouble. Mom, you probably should have disciplined me more. Today, we're going to be digging into a passage in Colossians where we're going to see the Apostle Paul express deep, deep gratitude for the people in the church of Colossae. And I think when we really get to the core of it, today's message is that we need to show appreciation to those who bring children back home, or if we're going to spiritualize it a little more, those who share the gospel with others and bring those who are lost back to being found. We need to show great, great appreciation for these people. So in a moment, we're going to read Colossians chapter 1, verses 1 through 14 together. I hope you'll follow along with me. You can find a Bible in front of you in the pew. It's the same translation I'll be reading out of, the Christian Standard Bible. Or you can follow along on the screen. We'll read together, and then we'll go back in and dig just a little bit deeper into this passage. Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by God's will, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints in Christ at Colossae, who are faithful brothers and sisters, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, because of the hope reserved for you in heaven. You have already heard about this hope in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. It is bearing fruit and growing all over the world, just as it has among you since the day you heard it and came to truly appreciate God's grace. You learn this from Epaphras, our dearly loved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has told us about your love in the Spirit. Verse 9. For this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, so that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work, and growing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Verse 14, in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your mercies that are new every single morning. Thank you for the way that you care for us, the way you care for us individually, the way you care for our families, the way you care for our church. God, I pray that today we would just get a glimpse of understanding what it means to truly appreciate your grace. God, thank you for the faithful men and women, boys and girls you put in our life who constantly point us back to you and direct us where we ought to go. And Father, I just pray that today as we study your word, whatever you have to do, whatever you have to say, please, God, have your way. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Paul begins his letters in a similar fashion every time, even when he's upset with the people at that church. Okay, so any of the books that end in Ians, I-A-N-S, they are letters written by Paul to the various churches in those towns or communities or nations. And what he's writing, he always starts with a greeting. So he'll say who he is or who's with him or who's writing it. This isn't incredibly important, but there are times that when Paul got older in age, we see that someone wrote a letter on his behalf. Like Paul said the words and they wrote down his words for him. That still gives Paul authorship. Again, not that important, but just so you know. And so here we have in verse 1, we see that it's Paul and Timothy writing this letter together. It's an introduction. Here's who I am. And then in verse 2, we see this. To the saints in Christ at Colossae, who are faithful brothers and sisters, grace to you and peace from God our Father. It's a greeting. It's a blessing, right? One of the things Paul always says is he'll say grace to you. Grace to you. What he's saying there is may God's grace shine upon you, right? Almost think of Deuteronomy, where his face shine upon you. May he go before you and behind you. And it's a blessing, and so it's a greeting. And here's what I want us to target in on for just a moment. Here's point number one today. If you're taking notes, I sure hope you are. We always thank God when we pray for you. We always thank God when we pray for you. Let me ask a question. This is going to be a rhetorical question. There's no need to answer it out loud. Just think about it amongst yourselves. How often do you thank God for people? How often do you thank God for people? Let me tell you who I consistently thank God for. Just a moment of transparency here. I consistently thank God for my wife, Grace. I consistently thank God for my son, Grayson. And depending on his behavior, I thank God for my dog, Bear. I don't always. But the question is, how often do you thank God when you pray for people? And this isn't to say, God, I'm thanking you, and now I'm going to pray about this person. There's a clear indication here that they are thanking God for this specific person. Now, here's what I want you to know. Paul, when he's writing these letters to these various churches, is not writing these letters and everything's going to be positive. Some of it is, some of it isn't. There are going to be people that he specifically names and addresses, and yet they also fall under this category of people that he is constantly thanking God for. So it got me thinking a little bit as I was studying, preparing for this morning. It's really easy to thank God for my wife. It's really easy to thank God for my son. How often do I thank God for those who come against me? How often do I thank God for those who have wronged me? How often do I thank God for those who have said something that maybe hurt my feelings? I think the reality, if we're going to be honest with ourselves, is that we don't really thank God for those people. And this church, this specific church at Colossae, there's a lot of good to come in this church. As we go through Colossians, you're going to see a lot of positive things. But as you know, where there are people, there are flaws. And where there are people, there are mistakes. And where there are people, there is disunity at times. And even in the midst of this, Paul makes a special concerted effort to say, I always thank God when praying for you. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you. Let's read verse 4. For we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints. Because of the hope reserved for you in heaven, you have already heard about this hope in the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. It is bearing fruit and growing all over the world, just as it has among you since the day you heard it and learned to truly appreciate God's grace. Here's point number two today. Point number two today, truly appreciate God's grace. Now, maybe you'll notice this, maybe you won't, but we're actually kind of taking stepping stones here. One of the ways that we are able to truly appreciate God's grace is by thanking God for the people he has put around us. We always thank God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, for you. You are growing in the gospel so that you may truly appreciate God's grace. Now, later on in this passage, we're going to see, I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, but we're going to see ways that we truly appreciate God's grace and ways that we walk a certain way before God. And so here's what I want to focus in on. If you could put verse 6 up there again, please. By the way, Paul is the king of run-on sentences. And that's why you'll notice verses aren't necessarily the end of sentences. He just kind of keeps going. It's one continuous thought, okay? The gospel has come to you. It is bearing fruit and growing all over the world, just as it has among you since the day you heard it and came to truly appreciate God's grace. What's the implication here? The implication is that the moment we truly appreciate God's grace is when we accept it. The moment we truly appreciate God's grace is when we accept it. What does this mean? Well, I've heard it said this way. I've told you this story before. I'm going to give you a little more perspective to it. When I was younger, I got a parrot for Christmas. Scotty Too Hottie, you may remember. A little green Quaker parrot. Now, here's what happened. I loved Scotty on Christmas morning. He was so sweet. We had another another bird in the house. He was Jericho. You kind of see a theme here. And they got along great, and they were both very sweet. Well, one day we opened the door and Jericho just flies out. Don't know why. I guess he was tired of us. He had stopped thanking God for us. He was gone. Jericho flies out, and from that moment on, Scotty was no longer sweet. Scotty was the worst parrot you could ever have. He was mean. He put a hole in your finger. He would drop. I mean, he was just a punk. And so here's what happened. I stopped being thankful for Scotty Too Hottie. I just couldn't stand that bird. I would open the door and just leave it open, you know? There you go, buddy. I'd open up a window right by his cage and go, the gift I had once really appreciated, I had lost my gratitude for. Now, here's what I want to ask you. Here's what I want us to really think through. Why did I lose my appreciation for my bird? Because he was mean, right? He stopped doing what I expected him to do. Here's what I think happens to us as believers in Christ. I think we reach a point where we ask God for something or we pray something and we don't get what we want, and all of a sudden we stop appreciating God's gift to us because he has stopped meeting our expectations. He has stopped feeding into our desires. Let's be abundantly clear here. God is not some genie that we just make wishes to and he's going to make them all come true. I think it's incredibly dangerous to think of God this way. Because as soon as he doesn't answer your prayer the way you want him to, well, he's a weak genie. He's powerless. He's not who we want him to be. And this sounds silly when we're praying for something like rain or we're praying for something like a new bird. It's not silly when we're praying for the health of someone we love. It's not silly when we're praying for God to save someone who's dying and they die anyway. It's not silly when we ask God and beg God, would you please bring this person to faith in your son, Jesus Christ, and then they die without ever trusting in Jesus Christ. This is the reality that we live with. And so God, in many ways, and please don't mishear me on this, God is good and he is good and good and good. I can never sufficiently talk about the goodness of God. But I think we'd be lying to ourselves if we didn't say that God disappointed us sometimes. I think we'd be lying to ourselves if we didn't just wish God would answer that prayer in this way. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that I understand why God answers prayer the way he does or doesn't. I'm not going to try to manipulate the mind of God. I'm not going to try to bring that into understanding. I have no idea. But might I just suggest that the value of this gift from God, our life, our salvation in Jesus Christ, that's not taken away. No matter what we think the quality of this life is, the point is that we still have life in Jesus Christ. And so have we stopped appreciating God's gift to us, God's grace to us, because we're expecting something else when in reality all we were promised was life? We weren't promised an easy life. We weren't promised a challenge-less life. We're promised life in Christ, and that's what we got. And so let's take a moment, and I'm serious about this. Take a moment and really pray through this. God, have I stopped appreciating this gift you've given me? I think the reality of my heart is there's times where I do. There's times where I go, God, why didn't you just work it out like this? God, why couldn't you have just done this? God, why did you allow this? It's one of the reasons why every time I pray, I thank God for his mercies that are new every single morning. Not because it's some ritual, not because I think it makes me sound more spiritual, but because I need to remember. It helps keep my mindset right where I'm going, God, I'm appreciative for this gift you've given me. Truly appreciate God's grace. Let's read verse 7 together. You learned this from Epaphras, our dearly loved fellow servant. He is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has told us about your love in the Spirit. What's happening here? Paul is acknowledging how amazing the people are in their walk with Christ, right? He's saying you're growing in the knowledge of the gospel. The gospel is bearing fruit among you just as it has the day you learned and truly appreciated God's grace. In the midst of all of that, you learn this from this man named Epaphras. You learn this from Epaphras, who is a faithful minister of Christ on your behalf, and he has told us about your love in the Spirit. Epaphras did not just praise the people. He told other people about his praise of the people. You see it, right? Epaphras didn't just say, hey, you guys are doing great. Epaphras bragged on the church at Colossae. They love the Lord. These people love the Lord. Here's what I would love to happen. I would love to go somewhere in our community, let's say a farmhouse or a Rusty Pig, or maybe I won't choose a restaurant. Maybe we'll go to the Vault or something, but they have food too sometimes. And I would love for them to ask me, oh, what's your name? I'll say, Brian, I'm the pastor of First Baptist Glenville. And I would love for them to say, we've heard all about your love in the Spirit. We've heard all about your love in Christ and how you've grown in Christ. How amazing would that be? How amazing would it be if we were known for our love and known for our devout attitude toward Christ and our appreciation of the gospel? Now, that's a great idea in theory, but how do we actually get there? Let's get to some practical steps here. So we're going to read verse 9 together. For this reason also, since the day we heard this, we haven't stopped praying for you. We are asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Now, let's break this down a little bit. So Paul has said two things that he's always praying for them, right? He's always thanking God for them, and he's always praying that they will understand God's will. But not only will they have knowledge of God's will, but it will be knowledge in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Here's something that's really important that I think we neglect from time to time. It's incredibly important for us to know what God wants for our lives, but also to know the why of God, why God wants it for our lives. We don't always get that. But here's what you need to know about understanding and wisdom, right? Wisdom comes from doing, right? We've heard this expression before. Wisdom comes from doing. How do you grow in wisdom? You continually follow the will of God. The more you obey and follow the will of God, the more you listen to God's voice in your life, the more you follow God's will for your life, the more you'll grow in wisdom. The easier it will be to hear His voice. I've heard it said this way before. Sometimes when we hear God telling us to do something, we kind of ignore His voice, right? We hear that God speaks in this still small voice and that God is like whispering to you, hey, you should do this. Hey, you should do this. Hey, let's do this. And the more we ignore that voice, the easier it becomes to tune out. Here's an example of this. When we first had Grayson, I had some parents come to me and say, when he's crying overnight, if you've already fed him and all this stuff, just tune him out. Just tune out. For those of you who've had children, you understand the insanity of this statement. For those of you who don't, there is nothing like the scream of a baby. It's piercing, it's heartbreaking, it makes your body hurt, it makes you filled with rage depending on the mood you're in, and at that stage of your life, you're incredibly tired and impatient, and there's nothing like that scream, and you just go, how can I ignore the scream of my child? And by the way, if you are able to tune out your child, good for you. I don't have that gift. But there's something to be said for God's voice in our life. And I think there's a lot of times God is not whispering to us, but screaming to us. This is what you ought to do. This is where you ought to be. This is what I want from you. And we're like, oh, just ignore it. He'll quiet down after a while. God, I've already said my prayer, right? God, I've already given you your milk. Like, you'll be fine, right? And what ends up happening when we tune out the voice of God so much in our lives, we begin to not understand what His voice sounds like. And now we have other voices in our lives, other voices. You could call it the enemy. You could call it peer pressure. You could call it whatever you want. The point is there are tons of people and tons of beings trying to speak into our lives all at the same time. And now we come to this point of confusion where we say, God, is that your voice or is that someone else's? How do we know the voice of God? There's two key ways. One is we test it against the scriptures. If you feel like God's telling you to do something that contradicts what's in the Bible, God's not telling you to do it. Plain and simple. If you feel like God's leading you to do something, but it's sinful, God's not telling you to do it. That's a different voice in your life. And just in Sunday school, we were talking about how the most dangerous lies are the ones that are like 90% true or 99% true. There's just a little bit wrong with it. And it's the most deceptive lies because it's almost right. And you go, well, I can almost get on board with that. I'll allow it. When we begin to compromise understanding the voice of God in our lives, we come to a really dangerous point. Why do I say this? Because if you think it's God speaking to you, but it's Satan, or if you think God's speaking to you, but it's yourself, or you think God's speaking to you, but it's someone else's voice in your life, then you're no longer doing the will of God. You're just kind of flying by the seat of your pants. And you're just kind of flying in a way that you think, that's probably all going to work out fine. Can I tell you one of the most dangerous lies that we often believe? One of the most dangerous lies that we often believe is that God's just going to work it all out in the end. It'll be okay no matter what I do. Is it true that God's good? Yeah, of course it is. Is it true that God works out all things for good for those who are those he loves and are called according to the purpose of his will? Yes, it is. Do you want to live in a way, do I want to live in a way where I say, God, there's no reason to listen to you because you're just going to do whatever you want anyway. What kind of a relationship is that? Let me tell you how this plays out, right? Let's say Grace and my wife, are having an argument, and I just get to the point where I say, we're doing this because I said so. And let's say it's over something silly, like going to Mi Plaza after church. We're going to Mi Plaza because I said so. We're probably going to go to Mi Plaza, right? Right? I mean, she's probably not going to fight it too much. But what's happened in our relationship together? Now, all of a sudden, she doesn't feel like she has a voice in our relationship. I think sometimes our relationship with God, the way that we think is okay, but it's not, is that we're telling God what we're going to do, and we're telling God how we're going to be, and we're telling God how we're going to live, and we're telling God where we're going to go, and we don't give him a moment to give his voice in the conversation. I'm going to Mi Plaza after church. If y'all go to Mi Plaza, tell him the pastor sent you and give him a discount in the future. But we tell God, I'm doing this, you have no say. That's not the relationship that Jesus Christ came and died for. It's not the relationship that Jesus Christ came, died, and lives for. Give God a moment to be able to speak into your life. That includes reading your Bible, right? Where the Word of God speaks, God speaks. That includes praying. By the way, did you know praying can involve not talking? It can. In fact, some of my sweetest prayers are moments of silence where I've said nothing. And I've just tried to reflect on what God is showing me. Let's continue reading verse 10. So that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him. Here's point number 3 today. That you may walk worthy of the Lord. That you may walk worthy of the Lord. So what's the stepping process here, right? How are we doing this? One, we thank God for the people he has put in our lives. Right? It's like my mom thanking that Target employee for finding me. She could not express her gratitude more toward him. 2, we appreciate God's grace. Appreciating God's grace brings us to a point that we can walk worthy of the Lord. And how do we walk worthy of the Lord? Well, let's continue reading. Verse 10. So that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. And you think that's the end, right? You think, okay, that's good. That's easy enough. We'll bear fruit and we'll grow in the knowledge of God. Nope. King of run-on sentences, Paul continues. Verse 11, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. Nope, still going. Joyfully giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. That's the conclusion of that sentence. Okay, so what have we read through? That you're supposed to bear fruit, grow in the knowledge of God, be strengthened, have great endurance and patience, joyfully giving thanks to the Father. Now we're going to see a complete juxtaposition, a comparison of two things side by side. Okay, we're going to see light and darkness. So the Father has enabled us to share in the saints' inheritance in the light. The gift we've received from our Father is to share in the light. Verse 13. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. Let's talk about what the word domain means. Domain is this idea that it envelops you. It completely surrounds you. As far as you can see, that's what it is. So here's what Paul is really saying. You were walking in darkness, and there was no light to be found. No matter how far you looked, no matter how far over the horizon you looked, even if you were to look through this stained glass window at like 10 a.m., you would not see light. But our inheritance is that we get to share in the light. So how do we walk worthy of the Lord? We bear fruit, we grow in the knowledge of God, we patiently and joyfully endure, we joyfully give thanks to God. And how do we do those things? We inherit the light. Now watch the connection piece here, right? What is God's gift to us? God's gift to us is life in Jesus Christ. When we truly appreciate God's gift to us, we truly appreciate the light he has allowed us to see. This is the application. When we appreciate God's gift to us, it allows us, it enables us, it puts us in a position that we may walk worthy of the Lord, because we cannot please God while walking in darkness. And we cannot please God without Christ. I've heard it said this way. It's impossible to please God without Jesus Christ. It's impossible. So even though if we do not know Christ, we are surrounded by this domain of darkness, the inheritance, the gift that is coming to us when we trust in Jesus Christ is there is light and there is hope, and you may walk worthy of the Lord by following this light. Here's what I want to close with today. Verse 14. In him, we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. Can we go back to verse 13 for just a second? God the Father has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son he loves. And that Son, verse 14, in him we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. One of the greatest lies I ever believed was that I didn't have to trust in Jesus Christ to be saved. One of the greatest lies I ever believed was that I didn't need Jesus, that God was going to love me anyway, and that I would be part of his inheritance just because he made me. That's a lie. Does God love you for who you are and how he has created you? Yes, he does. But love doesn't just mean you get a free pass into heaven. And love doesn't just mean you get to walk to the front of Target and not be disciplined. That's not what love is. Love is actually giving you what you deserve, but finding a way to show mercy even in the middle of it. What we deserve is death. Romans says this, that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that the wages of our sin is death. But Romans also says this, that at just the right time, while we were still sinners, Jesus Christ died for the ungodly. He died for us. And that whosoever believes in him, now we're going into John, whosoever believes in him, Jesus Christ, shall not perish, shall not die, but have everlasting life. Book of Romans says this in chapter 10, that if you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and confess with your mouth that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. So here's my challenge to you today as we close. If you have been living in the domain of darkness, if you have not trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if you have not set yourself up to walk worthy of the Lord, let's stop wasting time. Let's stop pretending like we're promised tomorrow. Let's stop pretending like, oh, we'll just get another opportunity next time. We don't know that. We don't know that. There are good, God-loving people who pass away every day, and there are good, God-hating people who pass away every day. Don't let today go by going, I'll just do it next time. I think the greatest enemy of the gospel of Jesus Christ is not antichrist, but it's actually indifference. It's that you just go, I don't really care about Jesus. I don't really care about all that. I'm challenging you today, care. Care just long enough that you'll hear the voice of God calling you home. Just like over the intercom at the beginning of this message, I shared how they called for this little brown-haired, blue-eyed boy, however much weight, named Brandon, to come to the front of the store. Maybe today, God is calling you to come home. And if you're hearing that voice, I can assure you it's God's. In a moment, we're going to have an invitation. You come to the front. If you'd like prayer, if you'd like to trust in Christ, if you would like to join our church, all are welcome. If you just want someone to pray with you, I encourage you in a moment when we sing to follow through on that. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for your mercies that are new every single morning. Thank you for the ways that you love us, the ways that you have removed this domain of darkness and made us inheritors of light. God, I pray that if there's anyone here who has not trusted in your Son, Jesus Christ, and has not received this inheritance of life that you promise us, I pray that today would be the day you call them home. I pray that your voice would be loud and it would be clear, and that not only would we hear it, but we would follow it. God, today, in all of this, I just pray you've been honored. I pray that we will continue to bear fruit, to grow in the knowledge of you, to endure, to have patience, and to joyfully thank you for this gift you've given us. God, would you help us always be grateful for your Son, Jesus Christ, and it's in his name we pray. Amen.
Stand with me and sing, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus.
Well, thank you, church family. You can be seated for just a moment. Today, we have Corey and April. Well, Corey's not here. Yeah. Corey's deployed in Poland.
Yeah, he's
Corey and April McWilliams, along with Elaine D., Nicholas Hill, Sarah Hill, and Dylan and Billy McWilliams, looking to move their membership back to our church. They were members previously, and then God loved them elsewhere, and now God's laying them back. And so if we are in agreement to welcome them back into membership of our church, if you would just give a round of applause, please. April, we're so glad to have your family back in membership with our church. Church, once we are dismissed, y'all please come to the front and welcome them back into our church family. We're so thankful you're here and a part of what we're doing here. If this was one of your first times visiting with us or your first time in a while, I encourage you to fill out a visitor card. Let us be able to connect with you. Thank you so much for being here today. I want to remind you of our evening service tonight at 6 o'clock as we continue through the book of Acts. And I would love to pray for us, and then we'll dismiss. Father, thank you so much for today. Thank you for new church members. Thank you for our church family. Lord, thank you for this time together. God, would you please keep us all safe? Would you bless the food we're going to eat, even if it's not Me Plaza? And God, I just pray that all we do is honoring to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a great day.